We're so glad that you're here. Happy Mother's Day. And just enjoyed so far what we've felt. It's so good to have family and friends and kids and daughters and your sons, and it's a special day. It's good to be here. It's good to be here. If you'll turn to Hebrews 10:24, and if you'll just stay seated, we're going to go to different scriptures here. Sister Diana asked me about a month ago, so I've had little sleep for about a month. But here it is. It's finally got here. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And if you'll look on your gifts, ladies, that's going to be our theme for today, is to stir up one another to love and to good works. You know, I watched my mom in the kitchen, and our house was so small that the kitchen was the life of the house. And she would stir things up like biscuits and cake batter and what else, ladies? What else do we stir? Pie, cornbread, biscuits, gravy in the skillet. So I would watch my mom, and she would stir and stir. And as my mom began to stir in that kitchen, she would prepare food for all of us kids. And on Sunday morning, when we would leave that little small country church, Mom would just begin to invite people. Come on, you're coming to my house for lunch, aren't you? You're coming, aren't you? It didn't matter. There was always room for one more at Mom's table. And believe me, it was a very small kitchen. We sat everywhere, outside, inside. It didn't matter. But Mom made room for one more. Watching my mom in the kitchen stir up things whet my taste buds. My favorite thing was mashed potatoes. Not sweet. Mashed potatoes, and she would just mix and mix in that bowl, and my mom would let me, out of all the kids, because I stood closest, she would give me the beaters, and I would lick the mashed potatoes. That's the best time. That was the best mashed potatoes ever. Dinner didn't even taste half as good as those mashed potatoes did. My mom just wasn't a good cook. She was a wonderful mother. She loved my dad like crazy. But most of all, she loved Jesus. So Mom was pouring in and stirring up something deep inside of me. And I think that that something was a love for Jesus that I saw in her life that I wanted. She stirred up a love for Jesus. She stirred up a love for myself. And she stirred up a love for others. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Consider means to stop and think about it. So let's stop and think about what we can do. Stir up means to cause someone to feel a strong emotion and a desire to do something. In the King James Version, it says to provoke. Now, when you say provoke, it gets a little bit more intense. It gets a little bit more, takes on greater sense of urgency. To provoke means to inspire, to excite, to prompt, or to trigger. And then one definition of it says that to fan intentionally. So what are you doing this morning? Do you have your spoon, your stir stick? Show me what you got, ladies. Show me what you got this morning. All right. So what are you going to do today? What are you going to stir? How do we stir one another up? The best things we as women of God need to do is to remind. Sometimes we just have to stop and remember. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, not counterfeit, it's real, it's sincere, that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. This is Paul talking to Timothy, and Paul was encouraging Timothy to stay strong in the faith. Paul needed Timothy. Paul was a mentor. Timothy was much younger, and the church was just small and getting started. Timothy was so important to Paul. And so he took Timothy with him to different places in troubled spots where the churches were beginning to get started. And in one commentary, it said that probably Timothy was close to Paul when Paul was martyred. So Timothy was very important. And so Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy to remember what was taught to him as a child. If you go back to that scripture, who taught Timothy? It says that it first dwelt in his grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice. So these two ladies, which were some of the earliest to accept Jesus, shared such great love and faith to Timothy when he was just a child that it changed his life forever. I don't know as mothers if we'll ever see on this earth what kind of influence that we had for our children. And I'm not just talking to moms this morning. If you're an aunt, if you're an uncle, if you're anyone in this building, if you're a daughter, if you're a son, I'm talking to you. So these two ladies begin to stir in Timothy a love for God. In Deuteronomy 6 and 5, it says, this is what I think that they were reminding Timothy about. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words have I commanded thee this day. It shall be in thine heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. I remember as a small child that we went to just an old country church, and they had altars at the front. And so the preacher would preach, the songs would be sung, and then we would end every service around the altar. And I remember that I would go, and I was just very, very young, and I would just scoot up just as close to my mom as I could get. And I would just listen to what she was praying for. And so finally I would just say, well, Lord, whatever she's saying, that's what I'm saying too. Now, I don't know what all mom was praying about, but whatever it was, that was my prayer too. And then I remember as I got to be a mom and I had three beautiful young girls, I remember my youngest daughter, Heather, when she was only 5 years old. We were pastoring in Ashdown. Service was over. Millard was shutting out the lights. If you know my husband, he does that very quickly. Church over, lights off. And so we were starting to go, and I look around, and Heather's nowhere to be found. And I look up to the front of the church, and there is Heather down in the altar, and she's just praying her little bitty heart out. And so I go to her, and I say, honey, it's time to go home. Dad wants to turn the lights off. And her response was, just a little longer, Mom. I just want to be with Jesus just a little bit longer. So I'm thankful for the Spirit of the Lord that was stirred into my children at a very young age. I'm thankful. So let's remind each other to love God. It's not just a generational thing like from Eunice and Lois that were grandmothers and mothers to Timothy and like our children. This is an eternal thing that we're stirring up in one another. Sometimes we have to remind each other of our worth. In Acts 16 and 1, it says, and a certain disciple was there named Timothy, we've already talked about him, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jew, and believed. Definition for certain means known for sure, established beyond doubt. I want to remind you this morning that you are women and men and young girls and little boys of great worth. But in this scripture, it says certain woman. There was a certain disciple. We already know Timothy was going good. He was doing good. And here it is talking about his mother again. It doesn't call her by name. And doesn't that make you mad when people don't remember your name? But don't ask me what your name is, okay? But it says that there was a certain woman, and of course this is Eunice. And so in the scripture it calls it a certain woman, and we've already heard of her. But I wanted to tell you about my granddaughter Kaylee was having a really down day one day, not very many weeks ago. She was just having a really rough day. And her little brother, my grandson, Eric Lee, he looked at Kaylee and he said, "Kaylee, you are enough." When you are that certain woman, Kaylee, you are enough. And when Christ is your Savior, when your life is in His hands, you become that certain woman and you are enough. I remember as a young pastor's wife, our first church, we started young. Our first church, and it was a small country church, but I wanted to do for that little church just like I would do for a big church. I wanted to take care of everybody's problems. Pastor's wives take care of everybody's problems, right? No, we don't. I thought it. And one night, church going good, and there were some really special needs that people had. And I was struggling because I was sitting on the seat with two little baby girls. And people were needing something from the Lord, but I was sitting on the seat with two little girls. And I began to feel less than a pastor's wife. I didn't feel very spiritual. And I was sitting in the back by this time. We probably started out on the front. And by the end of the service, we're all the way to the back. We didn't have a foyer, so you just went outside. So we were at the back. And I remember that the Holy Spirit, I just sensed His presence so great. And He said to me, "You're right where you need to be." At that moment, I was being that certain woman. And it was the most important gift that God had given to me was my girls. And at that moment, I was enough. I was right where I need to be. And if we have young moms here today, that's where you need to be. Don't feel defeated about that. But God will make you feel that certain woman. You're enough. I'm going to share an illustration with you that I have never shared this. My girls have not heard it. My husband has not heard it. But I begin to think of women that I knew who felt less than enough. And I had to go back way many years ago to when my grandma, now we're talking way long ago, when my grandma, her name was Nanny Ethel, when she was a small child, she was born in the rural country, mountains and hills of Kentucky. And as she began to grow up, she was shamed and ridiculed. Her mother never told her who her real father was. So my grandma, Nanny, never knew who her daddy was. And it brought shame and reproach to her. And then as a young wife, she marries. She has five children. My grandpa, her husband, was cruel to grandma. And he would be verbally abusive. And my mom told me that one night the kids were hovering over in a corner and grandpa kicked grandma across the kitchen. And at that time, I began to think, who in the world could I talk about who felt less than anything? Grandma Nanny, Nanny Ethel. But I want to tell you, even though Grandma knew what it felt to feel worthless as a child, to feel worthless as a mother and as a wife, she chose to be that certain woman. She intentionally kept a love for her children and a love for Jesus. And she kept that stirred up. I want to tell you that my grandma, Nanny Ethel, rose from those discouraging remarks and from that lowest pit that she could go to. And she became one of the most well-respected midwives in the hills of Kentucky and delivered many, many precious babies. So, you know, in Proverbs 31 and 31 it says, "Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." At that time, my grandma realized she was that certain woman and she was enough. She was enough. There's another scripture that I'm going to share with you, but I want you to go back to and let us consider to stir up one another to love and to good works. And I thought, oh boy, good works. Well, let's go to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And this is talking about Elijah, which was a prophet over Israel. And I'm going to read these to you real quick, beginning in the 8th verse. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he rose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee," King James Version, okay? "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, so that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah." Well, this certain woman, we don't know her name. We know that there's a famine going on, and we know that a man of God has showed up at her doorstep and has asked for her to bring him some water, which she did. And then he asked a little more. He says, "Now bring me a cake." And that's where things kind of got, are you kidding me? And so she's obedient. And I just wonder, as she went in, she was obedient. And I saw something in the scripture that I'd never seen before. Right there, black and white. She went in and she made the little cake. And as she stirred the last little handful of meal, poured the last little bit of oil, I wonder if she began to remember God's words that were given to her. Because if you'll go back to verse 9, it says, "I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Before Elijah knew he was going to be taken care of, God had already told the little lady, "He's coming, get ready. He's going to ask for everything you got." And so she's reminding herself. And I read that scripture and it really made me feel good. I don't have to be the one on top for God to talk to. I don't have to be the deacons up here or the pastors or the ministers. I don't have to be that far up. I can be me, and God can share with me. He did her. He did her. So she goes with an obedient heart, and she makes the cake, and she takes it to him. And I want to tell you that God knew more about the story than any of them knew. Because just a few days, a few months later, something happens in that woman's life that is more devastating than not having enough oil and meal. Her son dies. She calls Elijah and she said, you know, I can't imagine the pain that she was feeling at that moment. And she begins to say, Elijah, you came in, you asked for everything you got. I gave it to you. I was obedient. And now look at this. And Elijah says, give me your son. She gives him her son. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. I want to tell you, if you'll back up just a little bit with me, when she gave him that cake, she was giving Elijah out of her need. She was giving Elijah out of her desperation. She was giving Elijah something that she didn't know she could even give away. I'm telling you that there's times that the son's not brought back alive. There's times when that parent goes and you never see him again. There's times when that spouse is gone and it's way too soon. And it's the deepest pits that you can feel. It's at that time that you have to say, God, it's not in me to give, but somehow you go back to the oil of the Spirit and you go back to the meal of the Word and you begin to mix it and mix it. And you know what? You turn down there, Teresa, there's a cake. There's a cake, not just for me. I'm going to share it. I'm going to give it to somebody. Not because I have an overabundance today. I'm going to give it to you out of my need. You're going to get a blessing. Several years ago, Kim, our oldest daughter, had a friend right here in Siloam Springs, and her daughter had a brain tumor, just a very young girl. And once a week, the mother would have to travel quite a distance. I don't know if they went to Tulsa. I'm not sure where they went, but it was a ways off. And they got chemo treatments for the little girl. And so one full year, Kim would make a meal, and she would take it to this family when they got back from their trip. And for one year, she did this. And so I asked Kim, I said, Kim, did you feel like when you were giving this food and this meal to your friend, did you feel like that you were doing it sacrificially? Was it a burden to give, or how did you feel about this? And she said, oh, Mom, no, it was never a burden to give. I never had to give sacrificially. You know, I thought about that. I know, watching Kim's life years ago, there were times when giving somebody a meal was a sacrifice. But you know, when you give out of obedience and when you give out of love, it isn't a sacrifice. You don't feel that. So, ladies, men, girls, boys, gentlemen, whatever, everybody in here, God's going to be stirring in our lives. In Joel 1:3, it says, tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children another generation. It didn't stop with my grandma Nanny Ethel. It didn't stop with my mama Aura around those altars. It didn't stop with me. It didn't stop with Amy and Heather. And it didn't stop with their kids. This is being stirred in your life today. I hope that something's being stirred up in your life. Tell one another about the great gift. I know as a mother, that's the greatest gift that I could have ever been given, was the gift of being a mom, which is the hardest work, hands down, being a mother, but the greatest blessing. So today, let's read our scripture again, Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how to stir up one another in love and in good works. Will you pray with me? Father, I'm so thankful for moms today and mothers. And I am thankful for those that are here without their moms. I'm thankful for women who were raised, maybe battered, hurt, and mom's name doesn't leave a happy taste in their mouth. I pray, Lord, that as daughters, then I pray as young men and fathers and children, grandchildren, that you would stir our hearts today like never before in a world that wants to see God. Will you stir that up in us today? Will you stir that love, that great love? And we give you the praise, and we're thankful that you stir us up. Thank you, Pastor. Come on.
Awesome message. Awesome Mother's Day message. Have you been stirred? Praise the Lord. Those of you that hadn't been stirred, if you'll come up here, I'll give you a whack, and it'll stir you. Appreciate that. So good. So good.